Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. No doubt some, and perhaps many of you, are familiar with the story of My Fair Lady. It's the story of a low-born and coarse-mannered girl who is instructed in manners and etiquette on the wager that she could be made to pass for a person of aristocratic upbringing. It's an interesting story. It's actually a reworking of the old theme of making a silk purse out of a sow's ear. It's an appealing story to us also because it challenges us to make the most of what we have and to realize the full potential of our gifts and abilities. By recasting the characters in My Fair Lady with those from this sermon text this morning, we can begin to get a glimpse of what that text means for us. It is God who is that person who is trying to work the transformation, and each of us is that low-born, coarse-mannered person who is in need of transformation. However, the transformation that we need is far greater than any transformation that the girl in My Fair Lady needed. For the transformation we need is one from our dark and coarse spiritual natures to be renewed again unto life. Thanks be to God, though, that is what He has accomplished in us and in all who confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He hath taken us in whom no good thing dwells, only hatred and animosity toward God, and transformed us into His children by working faith in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. God has made us valuable, we who were once of no value. Or in the words of the text, He gave you your life in Christ Jesus. This is truly tremendous, and something that we should rejoice in, because we have the forgiveness for all of our sins, and we have the sure hope of eternal life. But you know, it should also cause us to wonder why. Why has God chosen to make valuable the things of no value? That is the question that I would like to address in the message today. God has chosen to make valuable the things of no value so that no man could glorify himself or his accomplishments before God. You see, man by nature is continually commending himself to God. Be it outright or only implied, mankind insists on flaunting his own righteousness as acceptable and even enviable in God's eyesight. Yet the scriptures record a different word. In the Beatitudes from Matthew 5, we get the different story, where the world says, "Blessed are the powerful, blessed are the rich, blessed are the people of status." The scriptures tell us, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are the merciful. It is just the opposite of the world's scale of priorities. Man by nature is commending himself to God. The Christian, by his attitude of servanthood, indicates to God that he is commending someone other than himself. And that person is Jesus Christ. A prominent lady once stopped and asked a noted Christian, she said, "I hear that you are a prophet. Will you not tell me whether there are indeed seats reserved in heaven for people of quality?" Well, he replied, "I certainly am not a prophet, but must confess that I have been given some insight into God's revealed word. And so it is that I can say to you that indeed there are seats reserved for these people of whom you refer to, but these seats are covered with dust. The revelation that no one has anything in which to glory before God comes easy for some, but difficult for others. St. Paul makes two strong statements in this text for today. The one is, as we have said, that God has chosen the weak, the foolish, the base, and the despised, the things that are not, that no man should boast before God. His other statement offers us positive direction. He says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. God has chosen to make valuable the things of no value, that all who boast should boast in the Lord. We make our boast, that is, we put our confidence and trust in the Lord because of what he has done for us. If you and I are told that our own efforts are of no avail before God, then surely we are going to seek to try to find that which is acceptable to God. And it is at that point that we are receptive to the gospel. When we come to the realization that there is nothing we can do to please God, that all our sins utterly alienate us from him and his love, then the sweet message of God's love for us in Christ makes sense. We who were of no value have been made valuable to God through Christ. He has accomplished that acceptable thing in our lives which we could not produce. He alone was able to please God through his life of perfect obedience to God's law and his sacrificial death for us. When we put our confidence and trust in this Jesus, we are doing, as the text says, boasting in the Lord. We are boasting in the Lord in that we are holding up to God the merits of Jesus Christ, those merits that have become our own by faith. And we are boasting in the Lord when we hold up to the world the blood of Christ, the only real answer to the question of sin. You see, the world desperately needs to hear who and what it is by nature, and also who and what it can become in Christ. Only in this way will people release their death grip on their own merits and come to cling to Christ as their soul's salvation. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. We make our boast in the Lord because of what he has done for us by creating new life in us. We also place our confidence in the Lord because of what he has become for us. As it says in verse 30 of the text, he became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus has become for us wisdom from God to deliver us from the folly of sin. It is the folly of sin to think that we can please God with our own merits. It is the folly of sin to think that we can live lives on this world that are truly fulfilled and meaningful apart from Christ. Apart from Christ, we can but remain self-centered in a constant condition of trying to satisfy our own whims and desires. It is the wisdom of God which frees us from being slaves to ourselves, so that we are truly free and able to reach out to those around us equally in love and concern. We make our boast in the Lord because he has become righteousness for us, righteousness to deliver us from the guilt of sin. It is the guilt of sin that cripples us and our society. It is the guilt of sin that produces that constant fear that so many people live in. This fear deals with us deep down inside of us and tries to convince us that we are of no value, tries to convince us and shake us from that confidence that we have in Christ. Christ has become righteousness for us so that we can live wholesome, abundant lives, free from the nagging guilt of sin. Christ has become for us sanctification to deliver us from the power of sin. It is the power of sin that seeks to control our lives. It seeks to make us fall into temptation, to see sin in every circumstance around us and to lust after it. It seeks to dominate our lives by the alluring and enticing things that it offers. Christ has become for us our sanctification. We are no longer under the power of sin. With faith, he has also given us the power of the Holy Spirit, that power which is able to overcome sin in our lives. We have God's assurance that in every temptation, he will provide us with the means to overcome it. We are no longer slaves to sin. Rather, as St. Paul says, we are more than conquerors. And finally, we make our boast in the Lord because he has become redemption for us. He has delivered us from the curse of sin. The curse of sin is death, eternal death, and it seeks each and every one of us. It seeks that ultimate alienation of man from his God called hell, where the stark reality of sin will become all too tormentingly clear to those who have not seen the need for the saving blood of Christ. We put our confidence and trust in Jesus because he has redeemed us. He has bought us back from Satan and the power and curse of sin. Without that dark cloud of eternal death hanging over our heads, we can live life joyfully, and we can face death confidently. Salvation, confidence, power, and joy. We boast in the Lord because he has accomplished these things for us. God has chosen to make valuable we who were of no value. What does that say to us? If God has made us fresh, made us valuable like a precious jewel, then most certainly he wants to show us off to the rest of the world. He wants us to proclaim the wonderful deeds of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. By so doing, ever increasing numbers will come to realize that no man should boast himself before God, but that he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Amen.